Good morning to you and welcome to our worship today. Let us begin with a prayer. Lord God, fill us with your Spirit today. Let us speak to you with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to you with all our hearts, giving thanks to you for everything in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who loves us, who has created us, who leads us to serve him as his dear children. But yet we have disobeyed him, and we deserve his wrath and punishment. So we come to him now, and let us confess our sins. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you. I do not deserve to be your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father has forgiven us all of our sins by the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us the strength always to live according to his will. Amen. And we collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty and merciful God, it is only by your gift of grace that we come into your presence and offer true and faithful service. Grant that our worship on earth may always be pleasing to you. And in the life to come, give us the fulfillment of what you have promised. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let's turn to the Word of God then for today. The Word of God that comes to us, first of all, from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Here we hear that God's Word is a fire and a hammer. We begin reading in verse 23 of chapter 23. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesied the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? This is God's word. And we hear a reading from the epistle Hebrews chapter 12. The Lord disciplines those he loves. We begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens those he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? This is God's word. The verse of the day reads, Alleluia. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Alleluia. from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And then we turn to our gospel for today, the words from Jesus, and he warns us that his word will bring division, even within a family. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. These are the words of our Lord. And we turn then to our message for today. The words that come to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let me ask, do you have common sense? Well, let's find out by taking this common sense quiz. It goes like this. How many times can you subtract the number 5 from 25? The answer is only once. After the first calculation, you will be subtracting 5 from 20, then 5 from 15, and so on. Number 2, is it legal for a man to marry his widow's sister? The answer is no, because he is dead. How about 3? What is the beginning of eternity, the end of time, the beginning of every end, and the end of every place? The answer is the letter E. Before Mount Everest was discovered, what was the highest mountain in the world? The answer is Mount Everest. It just wasn't discovered yet. Why can't a man living in North Carolina be buried in South Carolina? Well, the answer is because he's still living. And here's the final one. How many animals of each species did Adam take into the ark with him? The answer is Adam didn't take any animals. It was Noah. All right, I don't know how you did on it, but today, in the words which we have before us, it is Solomon who teaches us the value of common Christian sense. Let's take a look at the words which we have before us. These are words from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, the first 10 verses. Solomon writes, as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high places, while the rich occupy the low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. And then verse 10, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. These are the words of our Lord. All right. Common Christian sense. That's our theme today. And as Solomon begins, he begins with this word of advice. Smell good. Verse 1. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. I don't know where it's located, but somewhere on your dresser or in your house is your favorite bottle of perfume. Somehow the fly gets into that bottle and it's floating around in the perfume. Is it safe to say that you would throw it out, no matter how expensive that perfume was? We are to perfume. With our lips, with our lives, through our words and actions, we give off a good smell to people around us that like us. But like that small fly, even a small sin can destroy a life of honor and dignity, and it can leave a bad smell that offends others. Solomon is giving us a lesson on the eighth commandment. There are things that virtually determine our reputation. Either good or bad, our reputation sticks with us. And so we need to be careful about what we say, about what we do. Smell good, Solomon says. Next piece of nugget he gives to us is to know your right hand from your left hand. Verse 2 and 3. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. Here, with these words, Solomon is not talking right wing, left wing, conservatives or liberals. Rather, he's just speaking about hands. The scripture refers to the right hand of God as a picture of power, protections, and presence. And to be inclined to the right means that we want the Lord's presence. We want his protection in our lives. To be inclined to the right means we want the Lord to be there. We want what he wants for us. To be inclined to the left, as Solomon speaks here today, is just the opposite. Be inclined to the left means you're going your own way. You're doing your own thing. Solomon calls it very foolish. God's way, right hand, my own way, left hand. Because of God's grace, we know the difference between the right and the left hands. But we do have family, we have friends and neighbors, co-workers, who can't tell the difference between the right and the left hand, as God speaks to us here. They're just crossing their arms. And that's spiritually dangerous. It calls to mind what the Lord's word to the prophet Jonah was when he said, "But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who could not tell their right hand from their left. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" In his concern, the Lord had Jonah share this message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That was law and gospel, sin and grace. 40 more days, that's gospel. And Nineveh will be destroyed, that's the law. That message has not changed, and nor have the people whom we are to share it with. Ugh. I get tired of commercials that we see on the TV. One of those commercials that I'm not a big fan of is the Aflac duck. Many people don't like the duck. Many people must like the duck. It's been around since 1999. Well, what's my point? When you share God's word, when you present law and gospel, not everyone is going to be a fan. Some will not stand it, but just like those commercials, it'll get through to others. Our concern is like God's concern, to share the message. More Christian common sense comes in verse 4, bury the hatchet. If a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. Oh, every day in every walk of life, people maybe sin against you. They do things that anger you, they hurt you, they disappoint you, they crush you, they break your heart. And so, how do you react? Have you noticed that if you react the way the devil wants you to react, you end up regretting it? Maybe you let somebody have it, and it makes you feel good, but only for a bit. Then you regret it because it only makes a bad situation worse. And most of all, you know it's not Christ-like. Being Christ-like is being like Christ on the cross. He asked his Father to forgive those who hurt him and crushed him and broke his heart. We can forgive because God forgives us. So let's bury the hatchet. When we put it all in the past removes regret and it replaces it with healing. Here's another way to use your common Christian sense, to go with the flow. Verse 5, 6, and 7. There's an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions while the rich occupy the low ones. I've seen slaves on horseback while princes go on foot like slaves. And I think you know the saying, second verse, same as the first. I'll go read verses 8 and 9. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. Go with the flow. You know, the oftentimes we say, this is not fair. We might say it aloud, or we might just feel it. It's not fair. I want you to consider the most outrageous example of inequity ever. And it was done on someone who was the most holy person on this earth. He was crucified on a cross for crimes he did not commit. He received the full brunt of God's anger so the world could receive God's love. He became sin so we would become sinless. That was our Lord Jesus. Because of sin, life is not fair. We can't work ourselves into a tizzy, or we cannot go with all this poor me. We need to go with the flow. And Christians go with the flow because Christians are filled with the love of Christ. Solomon concludes the common Christian sense with this final nugget. Keep the axe sharp. Verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. I think most of us don't use axes too often, but we do use kitchen knives, scissors, razor blades. They all do a better job when they are sharp. The axe that Solomon speaks about here is our conscience. As an axe is dulled by repeated use, our conscience is dulled by repeated sins. If you do something wrong long enough, your conscience will no longer bother you. And how do you keep your conscience sharp? We do so with God's word. And not only does God's word sharpen our conscience, best of all, it sharpens our faith. And faith cuts through the lame excuses of sin. And best of all, faith points us to our Savior Jesus. He paid for our sins, and Jesus gives us the power then to keep from sinning. And so today, as we close with the words of Ecclesiastes, we see that common Christian sense does serve us well. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.